I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. We are joined by the three-man weave, DJ Pyowski and Tron Carter. How are you guys?
Hey, Andy.
I'm crushed.
Crushed?
It was my man Gooch.
Man.
I feel like that should be the first thing we address is Tron's blatant take-backs or flip-flopping on the Kuchar issue, and maybe you can clarify your stance for us here.
The Kuchar issue?
Yeah.
Kuch balled out today. He balled out all week.
He's a stud. He's got total command of that wipey fade. He's a generational player.
To be clear, you're trying to convince me here. I have been in on Kuchar the whole time, continually pumping him to you, as Andy has as well. And you just, I feel like, have had a lot of... just a very muddy opinion on the whole thing.
Again, I hate his swing. I just Andy should hate him too. He's totally against the whole aim left revolution. I mean,
he does aim left. He plays that lefty fade.
He aims way right, and he comes over it and then fades it.
Yeah.
He over exaggerates. He does come over the top a little, but. Man,
it's kind of like that.
It's
big,
more about alignment
with
the shoulders versus the feet. But anyway, yeah, I just, you know what? Like, I'm gonna play a little hard to get, and I'm still not cool with Skechers. But Kuchar he's a great champion.
Is he your favorite Skechers brand ambassador?
Brooke Henderson's my favorite Skechers brand ambassador.
It's gonna be Russell Knox for me.
But Kuchar is now second to her.
I'm a Kuchar would be my guy, too.
Your current Kuchar love affair had nothing to do with having him at 75-1 this week.
I mean, the early bird gets the worm. I also had Spieth as well, so you know, Kuchar. I've gone full circle on him. I like the idea of Kuchar. Today was the first time I've ever enjoyed watching him play. We're gonna have Huber on the Trap Draw, and we're gonna talk about the story that kind of.
Change his mind.
Flip the script for me.
Flip public opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I mean, I thought it was cool how his wife came up to Spieth after the round. It's like, I'm so happy for you.
How about her flying across the pond, like, this morning? Didn't even tell she was coming.
I mean, they were hanging out at Justin Leonard's, like, compound out in Colorado.
In Skechers.
All Skechers for everybody.
A whole family of Skechers.
Yeah, that was kind of disgusting, actually.
I love it. All in. Lean in.
So, Spieth. What? I mean,
What can you say?
That was something else.
I don't understand how you can hit some of those shots that he hit on the first few holes and those putts. And then, like that iron into 14, like, that was that was the best shot this year, in my opinion.
It was so good.
Like, that was insane. Just that chip shot on 13.
Yeah, to even set up being able to make bogey.
All of it. I just don't understand, like, how, like, obviously he's a generational player. The question has been whether he stinks or not. And sometimes he
Many
stinks.
Many people are saying he answered that question today.
Sometimes he stinks. Like, he stunk so badly. I don't understand how somebody can stink that badly on that stretch of holes, and then all of a sudden he just, like, turns into this freaking superhuman killer.
He just murders people in cold blood is the whole thing. I mean,
really, that shot on 14 should have gone in. That was a hole in one.
That was my biggest takeaway from today, was that if you think about, like, if you just look at his resume, you look at his game, you look at whatever, he's won now you look at like the first time he, or the only time I guess he won at Augusta, you know, he wins with his A game. He just boat races everybody. You look at how he won at Chambers. He wins with kind of his medium game. You look at how he won today. He wins with his worst game. You look at like
that was the weird thing. He had like his D game on the front, and he had.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
And then he flipped it to like his A plus game the last three.
But even more than that, like he wins in Australia, and he wins at the John Deere, and he wins in Connecticut, and he wins at Pebble, and like it literally doesn't matter. He just wins.
He's a 5-tool player.
Yeah.
So think about Matt Kuchar. He gets a 1-shot lead on the 13th hole. And he says, you know, like, you tell him, hey, you're going to play the next 4-2 under, and you're going to go to the 18th tee, two back. Like, with the slimmest of margins of hope to win the tournament after playing four of the last 5 holes of a major championship 2-under, and you have a 1-shot lead.
I know we're Kuchar heavy already here, and I'm sure we're going to talk at length about Spieth, but it was jarring to see Kuchar after the round, because he is always so happy-go-lucky and aw shucks, and he was like
I'm kind of shook right now.
He was shook afterwards, and like rightfully so, of course, because I mean, like, we can get into this, but I mean, that I feel bad saying it, but I mean, that felt like his chance, like that it was then or never.
I think the weather really cooked him.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, well, that's what Tron and I were talking about earlier, is like, you know, if he was going to come out and win today, it was like, it wasn't going to be like knocking down flag sticks and just overpowering, you know, Spieth. It was going to be obviously like, kind of like when he wins, it's typically feels like a kind of a survival test and kind of like, you know, just letting a lot of other people beat themselves.
I mean, what was the last time he won? He got crowned by the flag stick at Harbortown, right?
It's true, yeah.
I was looking at his...
Harbortown's a different course, though.
His majors recently. I mean, guy's kind of... He's in it a lot. It's not surprising, given...
A lot more than he was, say, 3 years ago. Like, he's really... I think he's really put the onus on...
And you look at Stenson and Garcia winning late. I mean, Phil didn't really win majors until late. I think he's still got hope. I mean, it looks like he's learning how to play the Open, which could be actually his best shot because of how well-rounded he is. He hits it pretty low. He's a controlled player. And then
I can see him winning a Masters too.
Exactly. His ball was getting beat up.
Yeah, I guess so.
In the wind today, though, the more the wind came out, the more his ball was getting beat up, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
I also felt like he... I don't know if it's just is he too nice?
Here's the other thing. US Open, he's made the cut since 2010 every single year, and he's got 5 top 15s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess like it's all about kind of looking at, I feel like the recent U.S. Open venues haven't really been great for him. It seems like he's going to succeed more at like one of the more like quote unquote traditional.
Well, the recent U.S.
Open Shinnecock or one of those places, I guess.
Like bizarre.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
For lack of better words, just totally for everybody. I feel like, you know, it hasn't really. It's been kind of a crapshoot. Whereas, you know, moving forward here for the next few years, it's going to be much more of a kind of a murderer's row.
Yeah.
So over under a half a major on Kuchar for the rest of his career.
He's what, 39?
Yeah. 39 is up there, man. I mean, it's like...
He's in pretty good shape, though.
I'm still going to... I really like him, and I was rooting hard for him today, and I would love to see him do it, but I'm going to take the under, I think.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say he's going to win a major. I think this only edified his resolve.
The thing I always come back to with these, and it's so easy, and we do it every major Sunday, is you get wrapped up in whoever just had recent form. And like, it's just so like, it's what I always talk about with Tiger too, where it's like, whenever anybody says like, oh, Tiger might win a major, you go back to like, okay, cool. On that week, he's going to have to beat Ricky, Dustin, Jordan, Rory, Jason Day, all these guys like on the same week. And like, it's just, I don't know. It just feels easier to bet on any of those guys at any given major than.
I just felt, I don't know. There was something last week, like Kuchar playing the Scottish, and he had an interview.
That's true. That's a low key.
And just talking about you know, like how he's kind of like, I feel like he's really starting to emphasize that in his career. Like mm-hmm. where, and actually Brandel had a good point today. He was like, you know, like Kuchar, he's got a ton of top 10 or top 20 finishes in majors. He made a shitload of money because of those. Like that was for the money. Mm-hmm. Now he wants to leave his mark. He wants to, you know, like I think that's what's missing from his career.
That's probably why he was so crushed today too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so that was like, to me, that made me so angry when Golf Channel was doing the live from thing.
Yeah.
And they cut away. Like
I was
waiting for his press conference, because that's 10 times more interesting than the winner's press conference to me, always, whether it's the World Series, the NBA Finals, or whatever. And then like maybe two questions get asked and they cut away from it. And, yeah. Like he was legitimately like, you could tell how much this affected him. You know, so I'm curious to read the transcript. Hopefully the RNA or the Open puts it up on their website.
That Spieth had a historic performance today, and we spent 95% of this already talking about Kuchar.
Yeah, I mean, every other podcast would be like Spieth.
People come here to talk about the losers.
What I need is Kuchar to start mowing some wins down, start knocking them down. Like Sergio kind of had a drought, but then before this Masters, he won I think maybe twice in the calendar year.
He won the Byron Nelson and then the Cotter. Right?
Yeah, you know, remember 40-year-old virgin when the one guy is giving the guy advice. He's like, you know, man, you gotta just start mowing some wood rats down. Kuchar needs to start, like, he needs to go out and win like the RBC next week. Just mow it down.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was gonna say.
That would be on brand for
him. It would be, and that's where I could see him like having that kind of resurgence in his career, where he does like. I mean, he's just, his game's obviously in a great spot. He like is so comfortable in his own skin and everything that like I could see him winning a lot of those. But like it just seems, I don't know, it just seems like his game, for a lot of the reasons you guys already mentioned, it's like it's so course dependent on like whether he's going to play well. And it just seems like a lot of these courses are going to be tough for him.
But the flip side of that too, though, is that his strengths, he's not dependent upon distance. He's not dependent upon overpowering a golf course. Like,
yeah.
His swing, his ball flight, his irons, like those aren't gonna. They're not spectacular, but they're also like he's not relying upon those to really make the noise. He's got the all around game. I think that favors him for another few years to play well.
Really, no weakness outside of like he doesn't hit it far, but he hits it plenty far enough. I think he's not short.
It did bother me that he missed the fairway on 17. That was the one shot, I think. If you could ask him, totally. even over those putts earlier in the day, like, I don't know, just missing that fairway on 17, I feel like that was...
I'll tell you...
How about the hybrid he hit out of the...
Oh, God, so good.
That was crazy to me that he pulled a hybrid there.
The other big one was not burying that birdie on 13. I mean, he just missed that. Exactly. If he knocked that in it... It takes a little bit of that wind out of Jordan's sails. I mean, he feels like he like got away with murder, only losing one shot to Kuchar there.
Well, that's tough too. Where I feel like he hit really good. I feel like the putts that didn't go in for him today were like high side. Like he hit really good putts. They just didn't fall. Instead of misreading it or whatnot, like I feel like he struck really good putts.
That's the other thing. I don't mean to keep like banging on this guy. I mean, he like just had a career performance this week, but that's the other thing that like keeps me from thinking that it's going to be a breakthrough. Is like with very, very, very rare one-off exceptions, like if you just do any reading, I think Poznanski or someone wrote a really good piece about this a couple years ago about how, like, there's no way to explain it other than just by saying, like, when you get older, like, putting just goes away. And, like, you just can't, like, there's no reason for it. There's no, I mean, maybe it's your eyes, maybe it's your whatever, your nerves, like, whatever it is. But, like, basically without exception, like, it just goes away. And, like, you look at Phil, you look at, like, a lot of these guys, and it's where it's just, it feels like, I mean, look at your boy Westy. It's another one, but it's like,
yeah, but he never had it in the first place.
That's true. But, like, you get to this point where, like, even Kuchar, I mean, remember a couple years ago when he led the money list and he led, like, a bunch of other stuff? I mean, he was making everything. And, like, obviously it ebbs and flows and whatever, but, like, it just seems to me like another one that, you know, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna keep getting better for him, it doesn't feel like. And you can catch lightning in a bottle in a week or whatever, but
to be clear, I don't think we're predicting a breakout.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. Yeah, so it could point, be a 1 week thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in my mind, he's got at least, he's got 20 good shots at majors left in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Hey, when the PGA Tour eventually makes the Players a major, he'll be a major winner.
There you go. Also, Spieth is just going to win all the majors going forward.
Yeah, he's got three. He's going, all of a sudden.
It feels like he has six, by the way.
He's got five.
All of a sudden, that comment that Rory made about how, you know, hey, Spieth's got two. He's got to win two to get to me.
Exactly. I was thinking about that, too.
And all of a sudden, Spieth here at 23.
He could get to him in 2 weeks here.
At 23 years old. He's got three legs down.
How old is how old's the McRib?
He's like 28.
28.
Something like that.
Like, did the McRib like miss his prime?
That's one of my favorite takes.
I think that's the scary thing, is like, it's only gonna get better. That's the thing, that there's only more and more young talent. We saw another college kid, an amateur, 20-year-old Sam Burns, finished top 10 this week at the Barbasol, like, it's only going to get better.
How about Canadian Spencer Levine?
Yeah, that kid had some stones. Austin Connolly.
Yeah, I really like that kid.
That was awesome.
So going back to, so all right, so you got Spieth won five majors. he's won the British.
I was surprised US he Open. Skipped the John Deere.
It's disgusting. Yeah, he skipped the John Deere.
It could have been his sixth major today.
It could have been. So
and he could have beat Bryce. I mean, you think he wouldn't have enjoyed beating Bryson last week? What better way to prepare for the British Open?
I'll tell you what. I think this is a this is kind of a redemption for him, because he would have won at St. Andrews had it not been for winning his then third major, or
that's
fourth
true.
Major
yeah.
at the John Deere. He was
right.
tired. Like, I mean, he prepped right for this one and didn't play the deer and wins. It's really interesting, just him in general. I mean,
he's it's getting to the point where, like, I don't think he doesn't say all that much interesting stuff. I mean, he's obviously very measured and, but I mean, I think he's pretty honest about what he says, but he's still measured.
Seems like he's a self-aware dude on the planet.
Yeah, but every other circumstance around him just has, like, turns out to be fascinating in some way. Like, just everything else that's going on is always interesting. Like, the thing at 13 today was, like, what an interesting way to make bogey.
Nobolo had a great take on Live From, where he was like, he's basically like,
how good is Nobolo?
Oh,
so good.
Oh, gosh. He should be, like, he should be the one in the booth with, like, Nance on CBS.
Yeah,
like, there's no reason. Like, so he was like, yeah, Greller and Spieth were kind of, they were like sailing into the eye of the storm, and like,
go on,
and they just like, they like steadied the ship and made it through. Like, just, but they had that RNA rules official on too, where he was like walking through all the stuff that went into that ruling. Like, first, you know, and breaking it down into phases, like, first taking that, you know, taking unplayable, then, you know, back on the line of sight and then kind of swooping around and getting out of the equipment truck stuff. And it's like just the thought process there and thinking through all that and staying in the moment and then not like getting in your
head
about it.
And then like trying to find it, like figuring out a number and figuring out the line and like knowing,
and knowing that you're taking forever.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And like,
he hit the shot and then sprinted back to the fairway because he was so like cognizant of what was going on.
So it's kind of crazy. I think he got, so the time didn't affect Kuchar. He played great golf right after he played great golf.
I mean, it did. I don't think you can say that it didn't affect Kuchar. Like,
so,
Kuchar had,
here's my point.
He had momentum though.
I think it affecting him.
It gave Spieth 20 minutes to clear his head.
Just like, chill out. Yeah.
Like his, when things go wrong on the golf course, like your heartbeat gets up and your mind starts to race. And what he
That's what I was thinking about those missed putts early. Right. Like imagine being inside his head at that time. Like everything he's thinking about is like, we're choking this away. Oh my God. Everybody expects me to win.
But
I'm going to choke. Like,
so he hadn't made,
I would be the worst professional golfer in the world.
He hadn't made a putt before that.
Yeah.
And then he makes he gets the time to settle down and just reprieve. I played a state AM qualifier last year, and I was 5 over par through 12 holes, and I was like in disarray. We had a 25-minute thunderstorm roll through, and I played 4 or 5 under in the house to come in like third place. But like I got 20 minutes just to sit down and chill out. And like I went back out and I was a completely different golfer. So I kind of think Spieth got 20 minutes where he got to just get out of the situation he was in. Reconfigure himself and get back. And I mean, it's crazy that I mean.
Oh, so another disappointment that I had with the media today, besides NBC going to commercial break right in the middle of that whole thing, which
that was very sad,
unconscionable.
NBC did such a good job the rest of the week.
Yeah, they did.
And then
Johnny saying that Spieth should have gone back to the tee. It's like that really doesn't make sense. Like if he can, hit it from there. Like,
yeah, that was a bad take.
Man, like just get it up there somewhere close, and then you're chipping instead of having to, you know, like play the entire hole over again. But I forgot what I was going to say.
Some problem with the media?
The media.
Oh, nobody found the dude that he clanked it off his head.
Yeah, I was thinking about that
too. He dumbed the hell out of that dude. And like, and it just didn't, you know, like that was just not even part of the story. Like that guy played a crucial role.
In major championship history.
In major championship history. Yeah.
Did he get at least an autographed glove?
Like
did he get anything?
If Spieth doesn't blow that dude's dome up, like none of this happens to Kuchar. We are talking about Kuchar being,
well, maybe not, because it probably would have landed in like the dunes and then he would have just wedged out and he would have made bogey probably anyways.
Yeah, but like, he wouldn't have gotten
the guy's
20
dome
minutes.
Oh, true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that guy's dome is like that, like Spieth should make it right with that guy.
Square that up.
Or a girl. I don't know who it was, but you know.
I think it was a guy.
Do you think he deserved like $100,000? What do you think?
Think that's high.
No.
20?
No,
maybe 20?
No, I just think he needs to acknowledge like the fact that this guy aided in his victory. Like a substantial
What if you had to put a percentage on it?
Probably say like 40%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm serious. Like Spieth got there, but like this is what pushed him over the hump, you know.
So who's golf's superstar? Is it Spieth or Rory? Rory's been the incumbent for so long.
I think it's Haotong Lee.
Haotong Lee.
And there's 2 billion people in China. Like he could be.
Yeah, I don't think it's Haotong Lee quite yet.
He could be a major superstar, and I'm like, we don't even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll say America's superstar. America the West, and the British.
The West. Man, I don't know. I think one more. I think Spieth, honestly, like, I think he wins at Quail Hollow, and I think it's Spieth. Like, I think they're neck and neck right now. Is that a cop out?
I mean, I think you got to give a little bit of credit to Spieth for being 4 or 5 years younger than.
I'm way more in on Spieth, but I think your question's kind of like the overall zeitgeist, right?
I think we need to go back. Are these two separating themselves completely from the pack?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, who? I guess.
Who else?
Dustin has one major. It can all change so fast. I know, but it felt like Dustin was the guy.
For all the same reasons that everybody's like, oh, Rory loves Quail Hollow. Like, what's to say that, like, that doesn't favor DJ just as much, Brooks. If so, not more? Yeah, or Brooks, yeah.
Here's my thing with DJ. DJ's 33, and he's got one major. Spieth's 23, and he's got three.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. No, but just, like, in general, like, is the gap between Spieth and Rory bigger than,
right,
like, the gap between the rest of those guys and then everybody else?
So, you know? I wrote an article comparing – I compared kind of Rory and his, who he is. Like, he's got Tiger's kind of, like – he's got his ability to just overpower and just make golf look so easy. You know, Spieth doesn't make golf look easy necessarily. But he has like Tiger's kind of knack for getting it done. But so I compared Tiger to Jordan, Michael Jordan, and I compared Rory to Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins seemingly had all the same tools as Jordan, but, you know, just he wasn't the guy that would just win no matter what with whatever game he had.
Are you saying that Rory's going to get fat later in his career again too?
I don't know how long he'll play. But I kind of think, could Spieth be like LeBron James? Like this era's guy. He might not get to 14 majors, but he might get to 9 or 10.
That's good. I like that. I'm in on that. Let me know where to sign up on that take.
He does things a little differently than Tiger, but he's a...
Also going bald.
He's a dominant player. Yes. That's another good parallel.
Yeah, how about the hair plugs? I mean, they're just – I don't think he's going bald anymore.
Maybe he's just less stressed.
And the fact that it was just for men sponsoring the graphic on the 18th hole, like, should have been Rogaine or, like, Propecia or something. Very – just the dishonest male hair product game. I mean, so I think we learned something from Rory this week though, right?
He battled, yeah. We've been banging on him for not battling back, and he definitely did. I mean, I can't help but notice that, like, every time he kind of, like, would get close to the lead or get back to, you know, being relevant, he'd snipe one left or he'd miss a putt or he'd do a lot of the things we've been talking about. He makes a shitload of birdies when he's 8 back, kind of a thing.
So Spieth played 12 holes, 4 over today. Rory played his first 5, 4 over. So it's like we saw the worst of Spieth playing 12 holes. Like it's stretched out so much longer than when Rory plays, you know, 6.
It gets going
holes,
sideways
six,
really fast.
Well, Rory's you know, like variance is so much greater than Spieth's, just because of the way that his game is built and everything like that. But
I mean,
Rory coming out and wearing the yellow jersey today just didn't sit well with me. The Mayo Jordan, that was gross.
So let me ask you: it was Rory's yellow. Who had the worst look all week? Because there were a lot of
Matthew Fitzpatrick on Thursday.
Yeah,
that was bad. I don't think his career will ever recover from that.
it was like maroon pants and like a black shirt or something.
Yeah, it's not, I was kind of tried to walk out of my head.
Not good.
Pride of Northwestern.
Yeah, Chicago's Big Ten team. it was not good. That was not good. I was way out. I know that the people are kind of split, but it was way, way out on Jason Day's Thursday look.
Jason Day is essentially
what the Open called women's shoes, which was a little dicey.
Jason Day is essentially like Russell Henley, but if Russell Henley got hot for like 9 months, like otherwise their careers are like identical. Somebody had that take on Twitter the other day, and I thought that was really true. Like Jason Day is just another guy. I don't mean that in any way. Yeah. I was just going back to the Nike thing.
So we're just gonna ignore like the 6 years Jason Day before the hot run where he was like,
yeah, I mean he was super good. Yeah, he finished like second in every major.
Yeah, where everybody was like, this guy's.
He didn't win much though.
Yeah, he didn't win a ton, but this guy's the guy that should win more majors than he does.
That's how I feel about Russell Henley.
When he got
Russell Henley's gonna bag. He's gonna bag a Masters at some point.
I think so too.
Russell Henley kind of got blown out to sea this weekend.
Who'd you think? Who had the worst look?
Stenson's shirt today was really bad.
That was bad.
It looked like that. Pass, though,
it
right?
looked like that thing you know when you wear like cotton golf shirts. And that, like, the sweat stains haven't started yet, but like they've just started to like spot. It's almost like someone sprayed you with like a mister kind of thing. That's legit what I thought would happen. I was like, oh my god, how hot is it in England right now? This is so weird.
He does deserve like maybe a pass because of everything getting stolen.
Literally, all his clothes got stolen.
so
like, who knows whose shirt that even was?
I hated Love Mark's blade collar. With the vest that was like a Kevlar vest.
Oh, that was awful.
He looked like a SWAT team member.
Here's a question.
Spieth, real quick, before
there was a lot of Kevlar.
But Spieth's Kevlar looked awesome
on
Thursday.
There was some good Kevlar.
That was the look of the week.
I think that was more of Rory's a poopy Kevlar vest.
Too. Yeah, it was a little more Marty McFly than Kevlar.
All right, so here's my question about the blade collars. How has like a knife company... Not like now that Nike is allowing other sponsorships on their shirts, like how is like Cutco knives or Shun or I don't know, like one of the other
Cuisinart.
Yeah.
Cuisinart? Yeah. Sure.
Henkel knives. Like how have none of them jumped on board with one
Shout
of these
out
guys?
Henkel knives. Future sponsor of the pod.
And like, you know, or like, you know, like that company that was sponsoring Bubba, like when he was putting with the samurai sword putter.
It seems like a natural synergy,
right?
You know what my favorite it like promos on Golf Channel or commercials on Golf Channel are the
PGA Tour president's
no the one where Brandel with Brandel and McCord doing that weird samurai thing. I forget what it's called. Someone will remember what it's called and tweet about it. I'm sure, but...
While you brought up the PGA Tour President's Cup commercial, I'm going to just throw this out there that Imagine Dragons is this generation's Nickelback.
Who's the golfer?
And
Imagine Dragons is which golfer?
Ricky.
No.
Ricky loves Imagine Dragons, though. He does.
No, Patrick Reed loves Imagine Dragons.
No, but Ricky does.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Patrick Reed loves.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Reed is the Imagine Dragons of golfers.
So, what performance?
Shout out, like, undeniably successful, but, you know, not everybody's cup of tea.
What performance impressed you the most and disappointed you the most this week or weekend?
I'm going to say someone other than Spieth, but like the way Spieth played in the first two rounds blew me away. Like it was probably super boring to watch if you're not like a rabid golf nut, but
it was like when he played the first two rounds at Augusta.
It was, it was just like, every hole was like the way he hit his irons was just so awesome. It was like every hole he's just between 12 and 18 feet in the fat part of the green with like a great look on every hole, and he made, you know, a third of them or whatever, and he just like was never in trouble. I think that was Saturday that he really did that. But outside of that, probably Kucher. I mean, like, that was awesome. It was cool to, like, so it was cool. It was so cool to see, you know, like, we are obviously as guilty or probably more guilty of this as anyone. But, like, when you kind of overanalyze everything going into the week and you look at the course and you're like, this should fit this person because of this, blah, blah, blah. Like, the players have to think about that too. And they have to look at, you know, they have to circle things on their schedule and say, like, oh, this is a place where I should play really well. So, Andy, like, I know you literally said this in our last pod. It was like, the two guys you're looking at are Spieth and Kucher, because, like, this course fits them so well. And, like, for somebody to, like, step up and actually execute when, you know, when it's kind of laid out for them like that, like, is always super impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm going to go with a non-golfer.
Acceptable.
Bones was great.
He's so good.
Yeah, just really pleased with the way that he performed.
And his two picks, Spieth and Leishman, both in the top five or top six, I think.
Yeah. And I'm going to say disappointment.
Andy, you can Venmo me for the Leishman thing. Just whatever.
Yeah. I'll send that.
And Leishman's got to be. I think he's like guaranteed to get to East Lake now. That was the goal at the beginning of the season. So
awesome.
Biggest disappointment for me, and this is kind of going to be, you know, a little bit tongue in cheek, I guess, but Paul Casey, guy shot 66, 77, 67, 67, played his ass off. Yeah. But like, he just, I feel like that's happened in a few majors now where, you know, he probably got the rough end of the draw on Friday too, but where you just can't, you know, you got to keep it between the mayonnaise and the mustard because he played so freaking well otherwise.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
If that's a 72, he's right there.
Yeah.
My biggest disappointment, the performance I was disappointed in the most is, again, also going to be a non-golfer. It's going to be the weather. I was expecting, like,
that was a disgrace.
You get up at 3 a.m. to watch dudes just get vaporized, and that never really happened. So that was a bummer. No, nothing anybody can do about it, but that was the biggest disappointment for me, which I guess means it's probably a pretty good week.
And then one other disappointment for me was when Spieth just acted like he bounces it through the rough on number one today, and it's just incredulous.
Tried to bounce it through the rough.
Yeah, or that incredulous that it didn't come back out in the fairway. Like, to me, that was the biggest disappointment for me was – the fact that, A, you could even have that expectation. Like, I felt like they could have grown the rough up. There was no penalty for missing the fairway in a lot of spots where if you were 5-10 yards off the fairway, like, it really wasn't a big penalty at all. Mm-hmm. It was flat in certain spots, and just I felt like the rough was longer when we played there in March.
It seemed like a ton of guys who were missing fairways and then just, you know, hitting it to 15 feet. Like,
yeah.
Just hitting it out of that kind of like clumpy, wispy stuff. Like, it seems like the ball always settles in a pretty good spot, and it just doesn't really grab you too bad.
You know what it was? What they had proper amount of?
With angles?
Width. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm arguing that they had too much width.
Oh, man. It's the wrong pod to be arguing that on.
What about you? Most impressive, least impressive?
So most impressive, obviously, Spieth and Kucher. I mean, I'll go off the rails here a little bit. I'm going to go with my boy, Xander.
Yeah, shot for real.
Give it to
him. I mean, first Open, first U.S. Open earlier. I mean, this guy's got a win, and he's got a top five at the U.S. Open, another top 20 at a major. Really impressive rookie. I'm in on the Xander train for Rookie of the Year, even though I guess it's whoever finishes highest in the FedEx Cup, which is kind of bogus.
Dishonest, yeah.
Yeah, he should have it locked up now just strictly based off of major performances, since that's really what we judge golfers on. And then biggest disappointment, Ian Poulter.
Yeah, that's a
where did he
one.
Finish? Yeah, well,
14th, but... You know, I wanted him around. I wanted him fist pumping. I wanted a European foil to the Kucher and Spieth show. A little disappointed in the weekend Koepka put together, too.
You really can't call Poulter a disappointment, though. I mean, it's not like he folded one day. 67, 70, 71, 70. Like, he was,
the weekend
he was pretty
was,
steady.
71-70 was like 5 over on the weekend, this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I think we got to talk about Brandon Grace of 62.
Can we talk about Rahm real quick?
Yeah.
All right, so I seem to be in the dark on this. Like, people are just keeping this from me. What did he do on Saturday? Did he have a total meltdown? Like, was he breaking clubs over his knees?
I think he had a fist fight with Kevin Knott.
Really? They just totally scrapped him.
That's very unconfirmed. No, I don't know. I know that he was running hot and broke a club is all I know.
God, he's a psychopath. I love it.
It seems like he just gets psychotic about putts. Like, when putts don't go in, he's like a volcano.
Well, so here's my thing with that rules violation. Like, why is he doing landscaping work in general? If, yeah, like apart from his ball. Like, that just...
Well, I think, didn't he, if I probably misremembering, but wasn't he in a bunker? Wasn't it the whole, like, leaving it in a bunker and, like, moving sand, like...
No, that was different. That
no,
was a different
it was like a... He, like, uprooted a piece of grass or something. And then it was later determined it didn't affect his lie. So, I'm right, guessing
whatever.
He was...
He
like,
was a million shots back. Who cares?
Yeah. But Brandon Grace. Johnny goes down. Lowest round in major championship history.
I'm out on that.
I'm in on it. I mean, you know, it is what it is, to quote the cat. But
it's a great round. I'm not going to...
Totally. Yeah. I would be lying if I said I wasn't really disappointed for Johnny. I love Johnny. And I love, like, that was his thing. I mean, it still kind of is his thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Johnny did it in the final round of the U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Right. I mean, Andy, I know you've been harping on this all week, but, like, how many dudes broke par that day?
I think it was 45 of 77.
On the day Grace.
No, on the day that Johnny did it.
Oh, four.
Four guys broke par. Johnny Miller shoots 63 in the final round and wins.
44 guys broke par on Saturday.
It's disgusting. And it was a par 70.
Yeah. It's, I
mean,
know.
So the fact that Grace didn't know,
that's
kind of sweet to me. I like that. Maddie was telling me earlier this week, he was like, dude, Grace is the guy to watch out for this week in his little Australian accent. Like,
Maddie is, nobody knows who Maddie is.
Leishman's caddy. He's my neighbor. he was like, yeah, man, Gracie. He's just, that guy, he's fearless. He's fearless. He doesn't give a shit. He just doesn't. He doesn't care at all. He just
not even about records.
Yeah, evidently not. He called that one. I think what's getting lost in the shuffle here is Ken Duke 65 though. That's what everything should be judged against, like, for the rest of golf history until somebody bests that round.
I sent a tweet last night and people are attacking me about, you know, I'm doing it for Johnny, but. In reality, like, the round, it's the low, the problem is the record, it's the lowest score in major championship history, but it gets interpreted as the greatest round.
Right. Yeah, those are two very different things.
And it's so different. Like, I'm fine with it being the lowest round, but what people will always associate it with is, like, the lowest, so it's the greatest round.
So here's the question: Does it mean less now? Like, if a guy, let's say a guy shoots 62 at Quail Hollow, or let's say a guy shoots 62 in the U.S. Open. It's not going to happen at Shinnecock, but, like, you know, in the coming years, is that totally cheapened and totally lessened?
I think it's just lost its mystique because, if it goes.
That's
another...
the thing. I feel like the bubble kind of burst, and it, like. It'll be just as cool if somebody else does it, but it's like the sheen is kind of worn off of it now.
Johnny and his constant reminders made that record what it was.
For sure. Exactly. Yeah. It feels like we lost something this week.
It is kind of sad. I'm going to miss the, well,
I don't think it's going anywhere. Like, I think he's still gonna, like, it's not gonna take any sheen off of it for Johnny. I think Johnny is totally unaffected by this.
And to be fair, I know we were talking about this on the text, but Johnny was very cool about the whole thing.
Yeah,
everybody like, was like,
everybody sets him up to be the curmudgeon who's like,
yeah,
come on, hey, say something so we can get all fired up about how how crusty you are. Yeah. But like, he was cool about it.
All he said was it was set up really easy, and it's like,
which it was.
Yes,
yeah. It's a fact. Yeah,
Scott Hend shot 65, and this other guy Norris. What is his first name?
Chuck.
Yeah. You know, when Scott Hend and
Scott Hend and Chuck Norris are out there shooting 65.
Chuck Norris shoot 65 with you, it kind of cheapens the 62.
And then Hao Tong Lee starts bucking his head the next day.
Yeah, how about that today?
That I
liked him. He's a charismatic fellow.
He totally is.
Yeah,
I like Hao Tong a lot. He's won 5 times. Granted, 4 of them are Asian Tour wins, but
yeah,
he's only 21.
I think they're coming, man. They're coming.
You guys see Woo?
It's a big woo-woo.
The big woo-woo. No, just the, like, the Chinese.
Didn't they ban golf? Didn't they just, like, crack down on it? Like, it's banned in the country, and they just crack down.
Yeah, but, man, they got numbers, man.
Volume scorers.
Yeah.
It's,
You know what I love about the big woo woo, by the way? By the I understand that he's not from China. I don't know who brought him up, but that dude is just feast or famine. I love it. He is like in the mix, or he's just miles away. He's like turning into the Asian Scott Stallings.
You know who's you know who he's kind of like is like Phil.
Scott Stallings making a run this weekend. Barbasol.
He's the Asian Matt Every.
Yeah, he might be.
I'm thinking he's more like Phil. Old Phil, where he doesn't care about contending. All he cares about is winning.
I miss the old Phil.
Now Phil's post-winning.
Can we talk about Phil?
Please, always.
Can we just talk about his choice to not put a driver in the bag?
Yeah, all right. So he's playing, what, an 11 or 12 degree, like, two plus wood then,
a hot 3 wood.
Hot 3 wood.
The block is hot.
I think it may have been the Frankenwood.
That was the Frankenwood.
You should have this dialed in. You're in with Big Callaway.
And 2 3-irons.
Not an equipment guy. That's why I'm with Big Callaway. I just trust their stuff implicitly.
Yeah.
He carried 2 3-irons.
It did not go well.
He averaged 268 off the tee the first
time. Oh, that was my favorite thing. You should run that. Run down. Do you remember those stats?
That's like ZB territory.
I know you mentioned it on the SB Nation thing with Big Porat.
268 off the tee, 50% of the fairways.
But like it was like who else was in the lead?
They were all above 290.
In the first round, I think, or the second round.
And then
He
was being outdriven by like Paul Broadhurst. I mean, everybody outdrove.
Shout out to Richard Bland, by the way. He was probably the
He won Low Bland over Adam Bland.
You know,
did you have that Low Bland this week?
I didn't get in on that action. My bookie was not offering.
Yeah,
those odds.
It's so yeah.
Can we get some overrated, underrated,
dude? We got
questions.
So many. Yeah, we got a lot.
We got some great shit, man. Great shit.
I gotta get into them. Hold on a second. I think you know, big Porath wanted a question straight to you, Tron, just about Cooch. I think we've kind of answered it, but he said, "Did him losing today sway you? And if so, isn't that why these pros play the game?"
I'm all in. I mean, I was going to be in on him regardless, I think, just because of the way he played. The process was solid. The result was whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't believe in moral victories, but I think Kucher was the real winner today.
Strong statement.
All right. If you can grant a major win next year to any, we're going to take amateur out of this, any pro tour player to qualify, who would you choose?
Do they have to already be qualified?
Or so can they pick come any, into
like sections any, to US Open?
We'll, pick we'll anyone to win any tournament?
Any pro to win any major next year, who would it be? And this is from Justin Hooch.
It's a good question.
Hands down.
I got an easy one. Yeah,
Monty.
Oh, that's so much better than mine. I mean, mine's obvious, but Phil at the US Open. Like, that's...
Monty beats Phil at Shinnecock.
Would watch.
I'm going with Ernie at the Masters, just so so he evens his major total with Phil, and there's no debate who the greatest of or second greatest of the generation was.
Oh, you'll be so vindicated.
Also, shout out.
No, all right. So throw up Phil. That's an obvious one. Okay. Like who? I mean, I'm trying to think who else. Maybe Big Cat.
Jesus. I didn't know we were still talking about Big Cat.
Vandeveld at Carnoustie.
Wow. They should give him an exemption.
They should. It'd be awesome.
Especially now that he's on the senior circuit.
Great question.
Yeah, I think Monty. Monty and Shinnecock.
Yeah.
It's only right. It's a ball striker's paradise.
Monty's is he... How does it work? Do you have to win this year's U.S. Senior Open to get into the next year?
Yeah, fortunately.
No, that's ridiculous.
Well, he could go to local qualifying. Yeah, he probably gets into sectionals. Jay Rigdon wants to know who gets to five majors first, Spieth or Rory?
Spieth.
Oh.
What do you think?
People are fleeing McRib Island.
Selling the McRib.
Like it's I'm gonna go
Rory.
Yeah?
Rory's got five, right?
Rory has four. He needs one.
Spieth's got five, though.
All right. Majors, sans the fifth major.
All right.
They should make the Travelers.
You know what? I'm gonna reverse that. I'm gonna go McRib.
I'm gonna stay with Spieth.
All right. Keith Mitchell,
web player. Ooh, friend of the pod.
Yeah. Wants to know.
By the way, Spieth is kind of a friend of the pod. Remember when you chirped him at dinner and you inspired all this good play?
He was intimidated.
You know, yeah. He's really kind of steadied himself. It's great. Great to see.
So Keith Mitchell wants to know, more entertaining, watching Tiger dominate with insane fist pumps from Thursday through Sunday, or Spieth's up and down emotions and spastic play?
I would love to take the hipster route and say that Spieth is somehow more entertaining, but there's no way. It's Tiger all day.
So how many times, we had the one master, we had a couple masters that were back and forth with DeMarco, and then...
Len Matisse
was hanging on the lip. Like he had a couple, but for the most part, like Tiger just like straight up ran away with stuff.
Yeah.
Where I would say, I think Tiger was like the big
or he's
budget,
just beating
like
the hell out of Ernie.
Yeah. And Phil.
Yeah.
No, Phil wasn't was even
never,
in the picture.
Never had Phil, yeah.
Yeah. Phil just cowered. He was out of the picture. At least Ernie put up a front.
So Tiger was like he's like the Michael Bay like mid to late 90s action flick, like Con Air, The Rock, Face Off.
Just high adrenaline.
Yeah, like awesome, so entertaining, but like did he do it on like kind of just pumped up courses that like were almost built to like almost tailored to favor him even more
Spieth
in
is,
this era versus
Spieth
versus
is almost
Spieth
more of a,
like that
it's
like
more of
that,
a Chris Nolan style
exactly that was gonna be my poll or like a like
maybe a David O. Russell
like a kind of like a low budget or it wouldn't really go with a Chris Nolan thing but like a lower budget drama.
What about an M. Night Shyamalan where you wonder how what just happened?
I could also, I mean, God forbid, I don't want to see this happen, but if he got into a late funk, he could really mirror M. Night Shyamalan's career.
I mean, all
which started out with a huge bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the biggest thing in the world, and then he just disappeared.
Well, so think about it this way.
McRib getting kind of M. Night Shyamalan.
He's been involved in how many majors? He's been involved in – he got vaporized by Bubba. Nobody was beating Bubba that day. He won the U.S. Open, which was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So entertaining. The Masters that he won, McRib melted down. And
Spieth's wins are more like triumphs of the human spirit.
And then like the
than Tigers.
St. Andrews, yeah. Like that was entertaining.
Oh, so, yeah. So
like,
good.
Today
so
was awesome. Like I feel like bang for your buck, yeah. You're getting more out of
Spieth. You're getting more emotion for sure.
Because Tiger had 14 that's opportunities.
Yeah. So maybe it's Tiger. There was nobody ever really had a chance against Tiger, but Spieth could be the same way, but it appears that everybody has a chance because of the way he plays.
Right.
Yeah, like people think he might stink, but he's still going to beat the hell out of you.
One guy on this pod thinks he might stink.
I'm not closing the door on him. He's a generational player. I've always said that.
I think we should talk about the fact that we might be in the post-pop era. Today was a good indicator of that.
Birkdale was totally post-pop.
Yeah.
Which I kind of respected that, but I loved it. They could have made it more post-pop if they would have grown the rough up a little bit more on the sides.
We're going to go into a massive pop course at Quail Hollow.
All the pop.
Yeah.
Too much pop, in my opinion.
Maybe too much pop. Yeah.
It's what about Brooks Koepka? Too much pop? Where are we looking at?
No, with God damn, how solid has that guy been? Like,
His average major finish is 6th this year.
It's insane.
And I imagine he's going to play well at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, he's got to be like, I mean, Spieth is rapidly cementing his place as the best player in the world again, but like, Kepka's got to be right there on like the betting favorites at Quail Hollow, I think.
He's the BTK killer.
It's got to be like Spieth, Dustin, and Brooks. They've all got to be pretty similar, I feel.
And
like.
Then McRib's the favorite?
No, I think Spieth is going to be the favorite.
I'll tell you who I like at Quail Hollow. I think he's had enough time now to kind of
Tiger
steady himself and get back into the swing of things. Sergio.
Sergio's up there in my disappointment list this week.
I'm gonna give Sergio a couple.
I think
more
he's. I guess he's just playing with house money.
Yeah,
he can kind of do whatever he wants.
All right, from Car for the Course, is Kuchar becoming American Westy?
Oof.
No, Westy's such a good ball striker. Kuchar's ball striking sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that specific. I don't think the question is really about like the specific characteristics. I think it's kind of a holistic look.
He doesn't have runner-up finishes in majors, though.
He's starting to get there, though. He's starting to piece them together. He's starting to be that guy.
How many? One now?
I think – I don't know. I guess he had a lot of like top fives, I feel like.
Yeah,
not
a
lot.
Not a lot,
but a couple.
Yeah, but was he ever really like – I don't think there – like this was the first time that there was legitimate heartbreak.
Yeah.
Whereas with Westy, it was like – Time after time.
So many short. There's like a montage of Westy in the hunt, missing a 5-footer to the right.
If it's not Kuchar, who is the American Westwood?
I'm gonna make an announcement.
Oh no!
I'm at the end of the year selling my house on Westwood Island.
I think that's a smart move. I would honestly try to get out sooner than that.
I'm hanging.
You get one of these late summer tsunamis, you're gonna just wipe all your shit out.
Global warming is gonna eviscerate.
Absolutely.
Westwood Island.
I was so disappointed in him this week.
He's got just boat raced by Leishman today.
So Leishman. Shit, I mean Leishman should have been right there in the mix, just like Casey. Yeah. He had one bad nine, I think. So who is the American Westy?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, Phil's got some tendencies to be American Westy.
He's won, though. It's got to be somebody that hasn't won. He'd be...
Oh, man. Ricky's got some American Westie tendencies.
The forgotten man.
He's quickly becoming the forgotten man.
Let's talk a little bit.
I was disappointed in Ricky this week.
I don't revel in it. I
thought this course set up quite well for Ricky. He loves playing Lynx golf, obviously. I mean, Quail Hollow sets up well for him too. But Ricky needs to shit or get off the pot here soon, because otherwise it's going to, like, the chorus is going to get really freaking loud. As far as just, this guy can't get it done. Big Randy's going to start chirping him like crazy.
The weird thing, though, is that the more – I don't think it would be – I don't know that it would be like – I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know that the chorus gets loud as much as it just – it's kind of a –
it's more true. Or
the world ends with a, you know, not with a bang but a whimper kind of thing. I think he just kind of fades into the background. And a lot of the stuff is like –
yeah, but Ricky's got so much self-belief. Like, that's why I like Ricky. I'm shocked that he hasn't won one yet, but I think it just comes down to it's really freaking hard to win a major.
What about Steve Stricker? I guess he didn't really have any chances.
Not in majors, really. Anyways.
All right. You know who could be one? J.B. Holmes.
Yeah. That's a bad take.
That guy, he literally stinks.
He does literally stink because he doesn't wear deodorant. Here's a good one from Ryan Leach. Biggest threat to steal the PGA that's like a mediocre American, a la Jimmy Walker, Keegan Bradley.
I think I saw this question. Didn't he mention Bill Haas?
Yeah, he didn't mention Bill Haas.
I don't think Bill Haas is mediocre, though.
No, he's really good.
I think Bill Haas has won on Formula One tracks.
You know who could win a Quail Hollow? Dan Berger.
DB?
Yeah.
Vibin?
Could see
Quail
it.
Hollow.
Who gets a major first? DB straight Vibin? Or JT?
Ooh, that's a good question.
This could be like a great... I think Quail Hollow could be a great litmus test.
Yeah.
For the young up-and-comers. Who gets a major first, DB or Patrick Reed?
DB.
Does Patrick Reed win a major?
No.
Ooh.
I love it. That's fun. I love it.
What do you guys think?
I think I don't know. He feels like he's right on the line. I can see
he's
it going.
Still so
neither
young, though,
neither
too.
Would surprise me. Yeah, exactly. But based on what we've seen so far, I guess I would say no. But I mean, he also won it like Doral, which is like feels very major like golf course guys.
Go take a shower.
Like, no, I mean it. You know, it's. I'm saying that he has won at like big events and firm and fast events and like stuff like that.
I think at some point he's going to steal a PGA where they set up all the pins on the left side of the green.
Overrated, underrated pin sheets. That was a good one I saw in there.
Oh yeah, it was from Porter. Well, it depends. I got wrapped up in a debate about whether, you know, a player that hits a
big data.
Yeah. A left to right ball flight is more suited to hit more shots close to right pins. You know, it was a question, but I think pin sheets. There's nothing I dislike more than a tweet about pin sheets without any context whatsoever to the pin sheet.
I feel like the only time it's okay is at Augusta, where people know a lot of the greens and know like a lot of that stuff.
I think you're overestimating like just how smart people are. I think maybe. Even like they have the Masters every year at Augusta. People watch the telecast every year, and like I would imagine that 7 out of 10 people that watch the Masters every year couldn't tell you shit about certain greens there.
It's probably 9.5 out of 10 people.
So which is a disgrace.
Pin sheets for players are underrated, but for viewers, extremely overrated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How did you feel about the failed acknowledgement of the fried egg that Cooch had on 18.
That was disheartening. I think Tommy Roy got in their ear and said, "We got to keep fried egg off this telecast."
Yeah, make you pay for it.
Yeah. Next thing you know, I've got a Golf Channel salesperson in my inbox saying, "Hey, we'd like to
buy an ad.
We'd like you to buy the rights to the term the fried eggs in bunkers."
Can't we talk about Data Golf though? I mean, Data Golf is he or she is totally taking up space in your head, in your brain.
All right, we're going to move on to overrated, underrated here.
I think that's the right call.
Segment here.
Quick subject change. If you didn't see it, go back and look at the back and forth between Data Golf, which I think is Bryson, and Andy today. It was epic.
So High Draws sent us a couple overrated, underrated. Let's bang these out.
All right.
The Open Championship.
Underrated.
So underrated.
It's right. The best tournament, best golf tournament in the world.
I'll roll with that. Kuchar.
Underrated.
Overrated.
He's so underrated, he's now becoming overrated.
No, he's just overrated.
I think he's overrated, too. Greller. Michael
alpha.
Greller.
This guy's such an alpha.
I don't know.
Underrated, man. I mean, he's getting dapped up from all directions right now. I get it, but like, man, you don't see JP doing that shit with Rory.
Well, hey, that's JP, the thing. JP stole the show this week.
Yeah.
He did.
Rory F. and McIlroy.
Yeah. He said, "You're Rory F. and McIlroy." He turned that ship around.
Here's what I will say about Greller is that, like, I think whether he is the best caddy in the world or not, or the most average caddy in the world, is irrelevant.
It's psychology.
All that matters is, like, how Spieth looks at him. And how Spieth listens to him and all that stuff. And, like,
yeah,
like listening to Spieth afterwards.
He knows how to take his temperature.
Taking out the specifics of, like, what Greller said. Like, the impact that has makes him massively underrated.
He's an alpha.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know why you keep saying this. Okay, what else?
We've got shooting 62. We already talked about that.
Overrated.
Birkdale.
Underrated. Loved it.
Nice box.
Yeah. The green on 17 was so good. Loved watching shots go into there.
And
how good was the bunkering at Birkdale?
It's great. Not overdone.
No, it's awesome.
It's just an eminently fair course.
Tiny bunkers that have tiny maintenance budgets, but are properly built for the ball.
All the runoffs and all the little nooks and crannies off those greens.
I love the 50-50 balls that, like, you get them running up by the green and they could either go in or stay out. It's so cool.
Here's a good overrated, underrated from Andy K. Bunker cams.
Overrated.
I think overrated. I think once you've seen one, you're kind of good.
Somebody just, like, swiping violently.
It was cool. I mean, they pointed out a couple times, like, just seeing, like, how open some of the faces are and that kind of stuff, like, was kind of cool. But
although
once you've seen it once,
the shade that
the green, the bunker cam at 17 at Sawgrass is cool.
The shade that Rich Lerner and the whole crew threw at JT after he did that, though, that was underrated. That was awesome. It was like shades of Joe Buck when he
Rich Lerner's Twitter game. Overrated, underrated.
I don't know if I follow Rich Lerner.
Oh, man. He needed to get involved.
Judge Reinhold.
He needed to get involved.
Here,
very literary.
Rapid fire. Let's go,
true
baby.
Man of
I got to find one in here. Oh, here it is. From Clan. Overrated, underrated golf Twitter.
Way overrated. So overrated.
Overrated except for the Fonz. He's underrated.
I'm going to go way overrated.
Way overrated.
There's no context whatsoever.
No, the worst. Everything's the worst.
It's just like, who can yell the loudest?
Yeah. I mean, I still do it. I still, like, am deep in it.
During a major Saturday and Sunday, too.
Yeah, during a major, it's fun. Like, actually, that's peak like Thursday of the Open at like 4 a.m. is peak golf Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Like good, like the best. Yeah.
All the pretenders are gone.
Yeah.
You just get loose. Everyone's delirious. That's fun.
All right. We'll say,
Andy, you need to be better prepared. It's like you went to the grocery or something and then met with the band before you got on here.
Yeah.
Andy's prepping for his wedding.
Spending a couple days in New York. I was, and then watching all the Open the last 2 days, I was kind of tied to doing some things. All right, overrated, underrated. Importance of shaping shots both ways on Championship Sunday. Being able to.
Underrated.
I think underrated. Man, you had a very prescient tweet, Andy. I know it started the war with big data, but the whole thing about, you know, Kuchar moving it left to right, basically only left to right. Like, I think your line was like front nine favors Kuchar, back nine favors Spieth based on where these pins are. I guess I'm not really saying, like, I guess that kind of says neither of them really worked it both ways, but like, I don't know what I'm saying.
Spieth works it both ways, though.
Yeah,
he does.
That, it was more of the sense, it probably came off the wrong way. It was more saying like Kuchar better take advantage of the front nine.
Yeah.
Because he only had three opportunities on the back nine where the pins were in advantageous spots for him.
So here's the thing.
Well, that made sense on like one of those holes, like where he came up short. I don't know if it was 15, maybe. Like, I don't know. He hit one that maybe came up 4 or 5 yards short, and it was like basically he just didn't. With the way the wind was coming, he didn't have a way to get to
17. That pin. I think, yeah,
17.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, it was like that was that for me. It was like, all right,
yeah. Well, he physically
couldn't get to that green.
18 was a perfect example. He went hunting for a left flag,
yeah,
and he pulled it and hit it into the bunker, or didn't turn back. Like, that's a hard thing. You can't press when you can't. Like, the beauty of Spieth's game is he can just aim right at the center of every green out there and just move it one way or the other. If it doesn't move, he's right in the middle of the green. He's got 20 feet, you know, and then he makes the putt. If it moves, he's 4 feet away and he makes a putt. So for Spieth, I mean, that's the underrated thing about what he does so well is he just hits it to centers of greens and limits the risk, and that's where he gets all of his up and downs from. So do you guys have any of these you want to go through?
I'm fired up. Hold on. You got it.
The producer hasn't put them in front of us yet.
Yeah.
You got one or two more that you want
to? Yeah, I'll throw one out here.
I saw a good one, overrated, underrated, pot bunkers.
Underrated.
I would say way underrated.
Way overrated when Robert Trent Jones does them.
Ooh, why is that?
They just don't look good. He'll put them in, like, you have to have the right kind of aesthetics to do them. You can't just plop pot bunkers onto a course in Chicago and they aren't going to look good, you know?
Yeah.
They have to be done right and...
Yeah.
In the right setting.
They're overrated, good. Underrated driving irons.
Underrated after I played Andy's.
I was going to say, this really hits home here. Andy's deep in the driving iron game. Tron is very lustful of it.
That's the one element of my bag that's currently missing.
That's the only one.
Yeah. It's too bad. I've got all the other tools in the toolbox.
It's too bad Big Callaway discontinued their driving iron.
It's back ordered right now. Chad, I need it, baby. I need that Apex. I got one from Will Bardwell.
I was just going to say these ones.
Overrated, underrated, Rory McIlroy.
Overrated.
I'm going to say properly rated.
I'm going to say misunderstood.
All right. The idea of moving the PGA Championship to May. So basically this would have been the last hurrah, glory's last shot, the British Open.
Overrated. Right.
Because you think it's overrated?
because of the venues. So like Oak Hill.
I don't like that it takes away a lot of the Northeast stuff and like, or not even takes it away, it just kind of makes it really dicey.
Let me tell you why. Because they're going to move a major to Scottsdale, Arizona, which is the most overrated golf. There's not a good golf course there.
The Bad Little Nine.
And generally, there's better golf courses.
Whisper Rock seems like a decent.
I don't think they're interested. Yeah. I don't think they're returning PGA's calls.
No. I thought we were just talking about Scottsdale in general, not potential major venues.
I'm saying for like a major championship, not a good golf course there. The best golf courses for majors are all north.
I would love if they move to May and they just get more West Coast courses involved. Literally, like, legit, what was the last PGA that was west of the Mississippi River?
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's going to be in St. Louis.
Was Sahali?
So that's what, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Which is but what, like, 99?
The problem is there aren't...
Medina? Oh, Chicago's east of the Mississippi, isn't it?
Yeah.
What venue out there is a good major? Like, Riviera, LACC,
I tell you what I'd love to see.
Is a PGA going to Harding Park?
Yeah.
Harding Park stinks.
I love Harding Park.
It's like a baton death march of long par fours.
No. It's short.
The Pacific Northwest is just covered with shrubs.
What? All right. I would like to see a major or just a pro event, not a major, a pro event, even if it was web.com, at Positiepo.
That'd be cool.
It's like 6,600 yards and just turn the greens up to like a million bajillion.
Get Steph Curry out there.
Sponsors exemption. People would watch. You know, you narrow the fairways down a little bit.
Would watch.
I'm in.
All right, what else we got?
Hold back up. Let's see here. All right, I like this American mediocrity take. Who else is in that category?
Who's
like, I feel like the worst case scenario for the PGA would be like Brendan Steele. He drives the ball really well. He's playing pretty well. Yeah.
Harris English.
I like Harris English, though.
Harris English is too big to fail.
Oh, is it good one? We haven't even talked about him yet. Overrated, underrated? Grayson Murray. Your winner today, the Barbie.
He's underrated.
I think he's super underrated.
Yeah, he's pretty significant.
He's super good.
I was like so in. I watched Grayson play in Columbus last year, and I didn't talk to him. I watched him play 18, and I walked out of there like, oh my god, this guy is unbelievably talented. I was like, this guy's gonna be really good. And then he fired up a Twitter account, and I got so out on him.
Overrated, underrated. Dan Hicks, play by play.
So underrated. I love Dan Hicks.
All right, so the second part of that question. Do we feel that Tirico is being underutilized?
I mean, it's hard to say he's underutilized because he's got so much other shit going on. Like,
we'll just say just in the in
yeah,
the
I mean, like, in a perfect world, like, yeah, he'd do more golf stuff. But, like, I mean, he's doing the World Cup and Wimbledon and Monday Night Football. I mean, he's just so busy. Like, I just don't think he can, like, physically do more stuff. He's so good when he's on. I absolutely loved it. The coverage was awesome this week.
Oh, it was.
So good.
They showed so much golf. There's another one on here, the fly-in commercials. I think they're better for the sponsor.
I think they are, too. I was thinking the same thing.
I don't change the channel.
Yeah. I actually watch and I catch more of the commercial than just putting my head down and doing something else.
Yeah. Let's see here.
This was a good one. I know this
we need to liberate Terry Gannon from Nick Faldo, though. Gannon's a pro's pro.
He's so good.
He's great. It's not about him. It's just, you know, just get him away from Faldo.
Just because I know this one speaks to Tron's soul. You can win one opposite field event as your only PGA Tour victory. Is it Barbasol or Barracuda?
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, Barracuda.
Barracuda. Reno, Tahoe, that's...
Shout out to
what
Caleb
about...
Mike
wait, you could, they forgot six, one. Six major. They forgot one. Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico's good, too.
Yeah, but Puerto Rico, you win that, you got to worry about your winner's check getting, getting like, nationalized or getting... getting
repatriated.
Basically, what do they call it? Getting garnished by those... you know, private equity firms that basically bought up all the debt, bought up all of Puerto Rico's debt in bonds. It's a bond crisis down there. So I'm not, you know what, like...
I'm not trying to get involved with any of that.
Yeah, I'll ask Chesson about this because he's a past Puerto Rico champ.
Right.
But
Puerto Rico Open has the best runners-up list on tour.
Maybe of any tournament in the history.
Spieth, Ishikawa...
Griot. John Curran.
Yep. Remember Ishikawa?
Didn't Finau finish runner? Or he won it.
He won it.
The Big Tabernacle. Shout out to the Big Tabernacle. Yeah. Pretty good showing this week.
Playing great. Hey. Campos. He could be making some noise at Quail Hollow.
Yeah.
Finau. All right. What else we got? Anything?
That's all I had, pretty much.
Shut it down? Andy, what's your lasting memory of this week going to be? It feels weird that it's not the eagle putt on 15, but I don't think it is for whatever reason.
I think it's probably that chip in he had when it was pouring rain in round two.
Yeah,
for par. Yeah. That he was going to make, like, a double. It looked like he was just making a complete mess of the hole, and the rain was just, like, at, like, the all-time high, and he chips it in for par.
Tron?
Spieth weaving his way through the equipment trucks. Like, that was surreal, man. It was
crazy. It was even better when they showed, like, the packaged thing later, and they kind of could just like hit the highlights of like all the different places he was in.
Yeah. How about you?
Probably the shot on 14, like almost holding a tee shot on 14 was when you, or actually that kind of combined with like after he made the putt, like his face after he made the putt was like nuclear. I mean, it was just like he was like there's no way he was gonna lose.
Yeah, I think the thing that's not going to be the big takeaway for me from the week was Justin Thomas wearing a tie on Thursday.
It was great for my Twitter engagement. That's God. About it. I'm into it. He tries different stuff. That's cool.
I'm fine with him doing it. I'm just tired of like everybody talking about it.
You know what bugged me is nobody credited Ryan Moore with the look.
Exactly. True. It's not like he's, you know, or
Bobby Jones.
I mean, really, if anything, DJ, his outfits had more of a nod towards history than anybody's, you know?
Hey, let me ask you a question, Tron. Is DJ still the greatest player who's ever lived?
Absolutely. That's not, like, I don't think that's, it's not anything that's going to change because he hasn't contended in a major recently.
You don't think that over that last five-hole stretch today was Spieth bucking his head as the greatest player of all time over a five-hole stretch? What about – here's what I'll say.
Remember
what about
DJ made three eagles in one round at the Masters?
Yeah. What about between 14 – Spieth's tee shot at 14 and the eagle on 15 over a two-hole stretch? Has anybody ever played better golf than that? Maybe Phil making back-to-back eagles at the Masters.
What did he do with his drive on 15? Is that kind of a scratchy –
No, he put it in the fairway, wasn't it?
17, he hit it right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think DJ...
I think we just need to... Someone needs to ask a question.
It's just all subjective about what the length of...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I think DJ just... If we're distilling it down to the shortest length of time, DJ is the greatest player to ever play the game, to ever pick up a golf club.
I think DJ's, I think him playing 18 at Oakmont might be the greatest hole anybody's ever played.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, actually.
Thank you.
All right. Interesting. All right, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like we're kind of just ending with a whimper here.
Well, what else you got?
Nothing.
I got nothing. I'm spent.
We're good.
It's a long week.
I got low T now. Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, it's Firestone this week. I freaking hate this tournament.
It's not.
It's Canada. Oh, I love Canada. Except for they're back at Glen Abbey. I'm kind of, I'm Glen Abbey. But they need to go back out to that.
18 at Glen Abbey is awesome.
Yeah, there's some really good holes out of Glen Abbey, but maybe just my enduring memory of it is like Jason Day brutalizing it with 385-yard drives. but yeah, and then Firestone, and then the PGA. Right. Yeah, so it's three weeks till Quahala.
Right.
Firestone's the worst. that's Reno Tahoe week though, right?
Right.
So, sweet. Okay, that's the last I'm going to talk about Firestone.
Sounds good.
We're just gonna do Quail Hollow, or we're just gonna talk about Reno that week. That's it.
You're putting a fatwa on Quail Hollow?
No, on Firestone.
Firestone. Okay. Yeah.
I think the Purple Mamba is going to go get another win at Barracuda.
I think Zach's
JJ Henry.
I think Zach's going to get a win at Barracuda.
Maybe. Would love it.
He's due.
Is he in with Big Stableford?
He said he loved it.
Good.
So.